As we've been learning about standing against Satan, we have discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible tells us, and having done everything else, we need to keep on standing in Ephesians chapter number 6. We're involved in real spiritual warfare. By now, you should know that. If you don't know it experientially, you should at least know it from the fact that I've been preaching on it now for a number of weeks. And that is, we're in real battle. And spiritual warfare is real. The devil is real. And you and I are in, we are part of the target that he is targeting. That is, believers who've turned to Christ and New Testament churches that are preaching Christ are part of the target in this area of spiritual warfare. The devil and his demons want to keep every lost person lost, and for that reason, trying to take down the message of the gospel and those who know the Lord, their witness in any way that the devil can do it. We're involved in the middle of that spiritual warfare, and that's the reason why Paul writes to us in Ephesians 6 about putting on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the reason why that Peter tells us that the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, and that you and I must resist him steadfast in the faith. And it's true. And if we're going to stand against Satan, we've discovered we have to understand the devices of the devil, and we spent some time learning about the devices of the devil. We need to understand that, or we won't know when we're stepping into his snare. We won't know when we're falling for his schemes if we don't have any awareness of what the Bible reveals about the devices of the devil. Along with understanding, standing against Satan involves withstanding, as you all know. Withstanding the dangers of the devil, this roaring lion, this dangerous lion who's walking around seeking whom he may devour. You and I have been commanded in Ephesians 6:13 to withstand in that evil day. In that day when the enemy is prowling, when the devil like a roaring lion is attacking, when he is seeking to devour in any way that he can, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are called to withstand that. And the idea of withstanding by way of reminder to you means that we're not going to back up against the enemy. We're not going to slow down. I mean, the devil's walking around as a roaring lion, but we're not going to hide. Instead, we're going to stand and resist the enemy. Instead, we're going to keep on standing, and we're not going to stop sharing the gospel just because the devil is walking around like a roaring lion. We're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give out. We're not going to sit down. We're not going to back up one bit. And withstanding the dangers of the devil, ladies and gentlemen, implies that. And that is that we are like an army on the battlefield that is marching forward in the face of the enemy that's launching their attacks, and we are not going to back up. Now, if you're not going to withstand the dangers of the devil, then there are some essentials or some keys that the Bible reveals to us to enable us and help us to be able to do that. And I've been preaching to you about them over the last number of weeks. You know what many of them are already. And but nevertheless, just in case, let me remind you that submission is essential. That is submission to God. 1 Peter, the Bible tells us there to submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission is essential. Steadfastness is essential. According to 1 Peter 5:9, we can only resist him if we're steadfast in the faith. We discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that the saints are essential. Our relationship and connection to the other saints of God is essential. According to 1 Peter 5:9, we need to remember that the same thing that we're going through, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are going through the same kind of attacks. We're not alone. We are in this together with the rest of the saints. We've discovered that strength is essential. We got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. And this talking about knowing something about the power of God's Spirit operating in your life, being filled and directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've discovered that there is a shield that God has provided for us that's essential in spiritual warfare, referred to as the armor of God in Ephesians 6 verses 14 through 17. We've discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that supplication is essential. That is Ephesians 6:18. We've got to be praying with all prayer and supplication. You and I got to learn how to walk with God in prayer if we're going to be able to defeat and to get victory in this day of spiritual warfare that we're in. Prayer is one of the keys, getting alone with God and before Him, laying our needs out before Him, praying for one another, ladies and gentlemen, interceding for other people. It is essential. If you don't have a healthy prayer life, then you, listen to me now, then you pray for the enemy. If you don't pray, you will be prey. We've discovered that separation is essential. And that is, if you and I, ladies and gentlemen, get victory over the enemy, then we got to stay on the right side of the battle line. You've got to separate yourself from the enemy. That means the system around us, the world system around us, got to set yourself apart from that system. The sin within us, you and I have got to deal with the sinful tendencies on the inside of us, ladies and gentlemen. We got to shut the door on those sinful habits in our life. Not only that, but there's the strongholds upon us. The enemy's strongholds described in 2 Corinthians 10, they must be destroyed. And God has given us mighty, powerful weapons to take down the strongholds, the fortresses, the areas where the enemy has brought defeat into our life and from which he launches attacks into other areas of our life. Those things have got to be dealt with and destroyed in our life. That is those strongholds. I'm talking about separation. I've preached to you about selflessness. We discovered the reason why that Peter... Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why that Jesus rebuked him in Matthew 16 and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," is because this man was living a selfish life. That is, he was only concerned about himself. When he rebuked our Lord, he said he was going to die for us, go to the Jerusalem and die. Peter didn't want that to happen. And ladies and gentlemen, it was the devil operating. There was demonic traffic in this man's life. And the reason why is because there was an open door of selfishness. If your life is all about you, if it centers around you and what you think, what you feel, and what you want, then you've got an open door for the enemy to operate in and through your life. You got to shut the door of selfishness, like Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, when he said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up a cross and die to yourself. Selflessness is essential. I said to you this past Wednesday night that surrender is essential. Some of you were here and we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the things that opens the door to the enemy is bitterness and unforgiveness in our life. And one of the things you and I have to do in our life is we got to deal with anger. It says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And the Bible says then, give no place to the devil. In other words, one of the ways that you and I give room for the enemy to operate in our life is when you and I don't deal with anger, when we don't deal with unforgiveness in our life. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to deal with that in my life. Surrender it. That is, come before the Lord with all your hurts and unforgiveness and bring it to God and surrender it to Him bit by bit, day by day, so that you can be able to get victory over the enemy. If you don't surrender your hurts to Him and you carry them around on the inside of you, they will eat on you, ladies and gentlemen, and open up the door to the enemy to invade your life, your relationships, and bring destruction to you. Now, I preached about that this past Wednesday night. If you weren't here, I hope you'll go back and maybe listen to that message. And the reason why is because it is important. It is essential if you're going to live in victory over the enemy. So I want to preach to you a little bit about today about Scripture. That is one of the essentials, one of the keys, ladies and gentlemen, to withstanding the dangers of the devil is the Scripture. That is the Bible. That is the Word of God. Now, I've touched on this already in previous messages and from time to time. That is talking about the nature of the Bible and the reason why the Word of God is essential in spiritual warfare. But I think that we need to spend just a few more moments on it today because it is that important. And that is the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, is essential. You will not walk in victory if you're not walking in the Word. Say it again. You will not walk in victory if you are not walking in the Word. Instead, there will be an open area of your life that the enemy can attack. That is, from which he can launch his attacks into your life. And so if you and I are going to be victorious, the Word of God is essential in our life. Now, in the book of Joshua, the great example that we have is the great warrior of the Old Testament. And that is, in the Old Testament, the great warrior who stands out to us, ladies and gentlemen, is the man named Joshua. You remember him, and that is, he was with Moses, and as a young man, ladies and gentlemen, Joshua and Caleb with Moses and Aaron, the Israelites came out of Egyptian bondage. God sent Moses and delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. And they passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. Waters came crushing behind them, and they are delivered now out of the house of bondage. They've been set free by the blood on the doorpost and by the Savior that God sent named Moses to deliver them out of that bondage. And now they're on the other side. And on the other side of that bondage, the Bible tells us they get to the Red Sea and God divides it. And then they get to Mount Sinai and God gives them the law. They're going to become a great nation. Listen, if you're going to be a nation, a great nation, there are two things that are essential. And that is, you got to have laws and you got to have land. And ladies and gentlemen, God gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And then the Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that God brought them to the land. The land that he had promised hundreds of years earlier to Abraham and then to Isaac and Jacob, that is the promised land, the land called Canaan. God said, I'm going to give that to you. It is going to be yours and your descendants. I'm going to make you a great nation. All the other nations are going to be blessed by you and through you. They sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. When they came back, there were 10 of them, ladies and gentlemen, that said, you know what? It's a great land, but we can't take it. There's no way. Listen, these are great walled cities in the land of Canaan, and there's great warriors in the land. I mean, these folks are experienced. They got experienced armies, and we don't have that. And we just know how to make brick. That's about all we know how to do. There's no way that we can take the land. But two of those spies, they said, it's a great land, and we can take it. And the reason why we can take it is because God said we can take it. And our God says we can do something, then we can do it. If God sends us in, if the will of God is to go into the land, then let's just obey God by faith. Let's just obey Him by faith. Let's just believe that God knows what He's talking about and God can do what He said He can do, and let's just believe God can do it. There are two men that want to step out by faith, and you know who they were, don't you? They were Caleb and Joshua. And he knew that God could give them the victory. This is a man that is operating by faith. This is a warrior that God has raised up, ladies and gentlemen, and out of the Hebrew family to lead them into great victory. And of course, you remember the story, and that is that all night long, the people in Israel were weeping and crying and carrying on, and they thought they were going to die right out there, had come out of Egypt just to die at the hands of these enemies that were in the land of Canaan. They got up the next day and they were ready to leave. They were ready to go back to Egypt. And the Bible tells us that Moses began to cry out to God. And God said, I'm going to destroy them. And I'm going to raise up a new nation out of you. And Moses got to praying and he got to seeking after God. And God said, I won't destroy them, but I'm going to let them die in the wilderness. And that is going to die off in the wilderness, these who are 20 years old and up, and only their children, that is those who are young and small, going to be able to enter into the land of Canaan. So they begin that 40 years of wilderness wandering. And all the stories that are revealed in the Old Testament, and how the judgment of God fell from time to time, and they would die in multitude. But even when they weren't dying in multitude, they were dying one by one in the wilderness. And that is, it was just one long funeral procession wandering around in the wilderness while hundreds of thousands of people are dying and being buried out there in the wilderness by Moses. And all the time, God is raising up a new generation. And that is, they're wandering around in the wilderness, and all that they can see is the judgment of God upon them and upon their parents. All they have to eat is the manna. Ladies and gentlemen, as they're wandering around in the wilderness, Joshua's seeing all of that, and the new generation, the kids are seeing all of that, and God is raising up a great warrior, and God is raising up a people of faith that will follow the leadership of this great man of God. Finally, the time came after 40 years that God took Moses home and Aaron home, ladies and gentlemen, now Joshua is taking over the reins of leadership. Moses meets with them in the last weeks of his life, and he gives them this new generation that's going to go into the land. He gives them a second reading of the law, he begins to tell them about the law again. That's the book of Deuteronomy, the second law. And he gets them ready to go into the land, and then Moses goes home, and ladies and gentlemen, God has raised up one to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. It is this man named Joshua. And God's speaking to him in Joshua chapter 1. And here's what he tells him. Verse number 7, verse number 6, he says, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua, don't be afraid. I'm going to give them this land. It's going to be divided among the 12 tribes. You know the land. You saw it 40 years ago. Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you the land. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Whithersoever thou goest, that is, Joshua, listen, you be strong and courageous, and listen, I want you to stick to the Scriptures. I want you to stay with the Word of God, and that is, I don't want you to turn to the right hand or the left hand. You stick with the Word of God, and if you will, you'll prosper. Now, when the Bible is talking here about prosperity, it doesn't mean he's going to lay up a bunch of money in the bank, even though that may be implied slightly, but it means that he's going to give a victory over the enemy, and they're going to take the land. They're going to prosper in warfare, in taking the land that God has given them. And that will lead to a nation of prosperity later on. But that's what he means. And then verse number 8, he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That is, if you're going to be able to accomplish your mission, Joshua, if you're going to succeed in the mission that I'm sending you to do, if you're going to be prosperous to do what I've sent you to do, that is to take the land away from the enemy, if you're going to do that, then you have got to keep the law of God. The Word of God revealed to Moses at Mount Sinai, it's got to be in your mouth, it's got to be in your mind, meditating on it all the time. In other words, he's telling him that he has got to stick with the Scriptures. You got to stick with it. You can't get away from it. It's got to always be in your mouth. It has to always be on your mind. That's what the word meditate means. That is the Word of God. You've got to stick with this book. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the Scriptures, that is, when it comes to spiritual warfare. Here's what I mean more specifically. I mean sticking with the Scriptures. Sticking with it. The Scriptures. Not getting away from it. I mean, it's stuck on you so tight, you can't get away from it. Have you bought something from the store? Just not too long ago, my wife bought a gift for someone from the store, and she brought it home, and I was watching her, and she was trying to get the sticker off of it. I said, why are you trying to get it off? She said, well, it's not polite to leave the sticker on it so people can see what you paid for, whatever it is, a little price on it. She said, well, take that off. And it was stuck on there, and it was stuck on there tight, and she was trying to get it off and trying to get it off, and I think she got it mostly off, but it took a lot of work to get it off. That is, it was stuck to that gift and did not want to come off. And here's what God is saying to Joshua. You need to be like that sticker and stick with the book. That is, stick with the Word of God, the law that God revealed to Moses. You got to stick with the Scriptures. And listen to me now, the same is true of us as well. And that is, if you and I are going to be victorious, that is, if you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be able to defeat the enemies in our life, if we're going to be able to invade the enemy territory and take back what the enemy's already taken, if we're going to be able to do that, then listen to me now. We have got to follow the advice that God gave to Joshua, and that is, we have got to stick with the Word of God. That is, you can't get away from it. That is, there's no turning to the right or the left. When Joshua and the Israelites, when they enter into the land of Canaan, ladies and gentlemen, there are many other things in the land. In the wilderness, all they had was manna and wandering around and burying people. But now, listen, when they get into the land, they're going to find out that the Canaanites also have their gods as well. Their little g's gods. They're going to find prosperity. They're going to find themselves living in cities that they didn't build. They're going to be living in houses that they didn't construct. They're going to be reaping crops that they did not sow. And they're going to experience these individuals are going to experience for the first time in their lives, they're going to experience financial prosperity in the land. And here's what God is saying to Joshua. When you get into the land of Canaan and you begin to experience all these blessings and financial prosperity, don't turn to the right or the left. Don't begin to bow down and worship the gods of the world. That is, the things that the world is worshiping, that the enemies are worshiping, don't bow to their gods. And listen to me now, don't allow yourself to get distracted by their prosperity. That is, when you're living in that prosperity, don't allow that to become the focus of your life. You've got to listen. You've got to look straight on. Don't be distracted by false gods, idols, and by prosperity. You've got to look straight on and keep your focus sticking with the Word of God that God revealed to Moses at Mount Sinai. Ladies and gentlemen, the same is true for us as well. And there's a, you and I live in a culture that has many idols, many different gods in our culture. These are things that people wrap their life around. They are things that people give, they believe that gives meaning to their life. It might be the greed that characterizes our culture. It might be the things that people buy and own and have their name on that their life revolves around. Ladies and gentlemen, it might be the entertainment industry. It might be the sports industry. I could keep going on and on, but I want to tell you that there are many idols that occupy the minds and the affection and the attention of individuals all across our land. And listen to me now, you and I cannot allow those idols to become the focus of our life. Not only that, but listen, the prosperity that we enjoy in the nation that we live in, we're like the Israelites in the land of Canaan. We live in a prosperous land. Everybody in this room, as you say, Pastor, well, I don't have much, but oh, but you are prosperous, ladies and gentlemen. By world standards, you are prosperous even if you don't have much. And it's so easy for you and I to get our focus on prosperity. That is, we get our focus on the things that we can buy and the things that we can purchase and the materialism of our day, and that becomes a consuming factor in our lives. And that is that our affection is not set on what God has said, but instead on what the world is worshiping, and instead on the prosperity that we're experiencing. And that is a sure open door for the enemy to attack in our lives. If you and I are going to be able to be victorious, we need to follow the advice given here to this man Joshua. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to stick with the Scriptures so that the Word of God is the center of our attention, and it is, ladies and gentlemen, the real affection of our heart, that we love the Bible, that we love the Word of God more than we love the entertainment culture of the world, that we love the Word of God more than we love to watch sports, hey, that we love the Word of God more than we love to go to the restaurant, hey, we love the Word of God more than we love to go to the store, we love the Word of God more than we love Cabela's, we love the Word of God more than we love Walmart. I could keep going on and on and on. We love the Word of God more than we do Facebook or any of those social media sites. We love the Word of God more than we do YouTube or anything else that you like to watch on your phone. That we love the Word of God more than that. Hey, listen to me now. Don't look to the right or the left. Your life built on, focused on the Word of God. I'm trying to describe to you how important the Scriptures are. Joshua, the great warrior, found this out. And ladies and gentlemen, because of the fact that this man stuck with the Word of God, because of that, he experienced victory. Don't you love it? When he crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground, you know the reason why he knew what to do? Because the Word of God came to him and said, go ahead and step on out into the water. And when he did, the waters divided, ladies and gentlemen, and they crossed over the Jordan River at flood stage. God opened up the river like he did the Red Sea. And when they got on the other side and marched around the city of Jericho, you say, how did he know how to take down that great walled city of Jericho? Hey, the Word of God came to him, and God told him what to do and said, march around it every day for 7 days, seven times that seventh day, and shout the victory. And the walls came tumbling down, ladies and gentlemen, and God gave them that city. Joshua began just leading them based on what God said. If you start listening to what God is saying, when I say listen, not just so you can know, but so you can go. You say, well, I know the Bible. I'm not talking about just knowing the Bible. I'm talking about going with the Bible. That is, applying it to your life and obeying what God says. When you start not only knowing, but then you start going with the Word of God, obeying what God says in your life, then, ladies and gentlemen, you can start learning what it means to be a Joshua-like character that is a victorious conqueror against the enemy. Joshua wasn't just playing defense against the enemy. He went on the offense. And the reason why he could is because God equipped him to go on the offense. He had the Word of God, the Scriptures, the revelation of God. So when I'm talking about the Scriptures, I'm talking obviously about sticking with the Scriptures. Let me just also say that when I'm talking about you and I, the Scriptures being essential in spiritual warfare, I also am talking about searching the Scriptures. That's what Jesus told the Israelites to do, the Jewish people in John chapter 5, verse number 39. The Bible says that he told them to search the scriptures because the scriptures are what testify of me. Search the scriptures. The idea of searching, ladies and gentlemen, is to go on a look. I mean, I'm trying to find, I want to know what this book has to say. Searching the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Bible tells us some of the believers did in the book of Acts. In Acts 17 and verse number 11, the Bible says these, that is the believers in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. As they heard, they searched the scriptures. They heard the word of God, they received the word of God, and they searched. They did a search in the Word of God. Listen, that's what you can do as well. You start searching the Word. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Sure you do. That is, you got a cell phone, most of you, maybe not everybody, and every once in a while, probably every day, you do a search. You get on there and you put a little word in and you send that thing off and it brings up all kinds of information about whatever it is that you, whatever it is you're looking for. It might be that you're shopping for something and you do a search for that item. It might be you're just trying to figure something out and you do a search about what it is you're trying to figure out. It means you spend some time doing some research to find out more about what it is you need to find out more about. Well, listen to me. Now the Bible says here that you and I need to search the Scriptures. Now you can do that on your cell phone, but be careful what comes up. You can just get your Bible out and start reading it to find out what it says and studying it to find out what it means. Just doing a search of the Bible. In other words, it's this. That's just saying, I want to know more. Hey, I heard what the pastor preached and what the Sunday school teacher taught and the discipleship training director said, but I want to know more. I want to know more. I'm going to take those scriptures that they were preaching and teaching from and I'm going to look them up in my Bible. I'm going to try to learn more about it. Doing a search of the Scriptures. If you and I, ladies and gentlemen, get victory over the enemy, then the Scriptures are essential. That means sticking with the Scriptures and not getting distracted by that which is around us. It means searching the Scriptures, and that is that I'm interested in what the Bible says. This is not a book that I put up on a shelf and just leave sitting there until Sunday gets here and I grab it and bring it to church with me. It's a book that I'm reading. It's a book that I'm studying. It is a search that I'm doing, and the Bible says we ought to do it every day. We ought to be sticking with the Scriptures and we ought to be searching the Scriptures. Hey, listen to me now. Our life needs to be saturated with the Scriptures if we're going to win the victory. That's what the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 1. That is, the book of Psalms starts out, it's 150 individual psalms, but it starts off with the first psalm, and the first psalm starts off with the Scriptures. Listen to what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is the man who's blessed of God. It's the man who gives no place to the enemy in his life. That is, the enemies, ladies and gentlemen, the ungodly, the sinner, the scornful, there's no place. I'm not going to sit with them. I'm not going to stand with them. I'm not going to walk with them. No, indeed. Instead, the Bible says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what God told Joshua. I want you to meditate on this book. I want it to be coming out of your mouth and be in the meditation of your heart day and night. And the psalmist tells us the same thing. The man that is blessed is not the man that's running with the ungodly, running with the enemy. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the man whose delight is in the Word of God, that is in the law of the Lord. It's what he meditates on day and night. It's what he thinks about all the time. That is, he is constantly focusing his mind on the Word of God. And listen, this man, verse number 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, just like we saw with Joshua. If you'll stick with the Word of God, with the Scriptures, with the law that God revealed to Moses, you will be prosperous. And the Bible is saying here the same thing in the Psalm 1. If you want to be prosperous, then listen to me now. You got to stick with the book. That is like a tree that's planted by the river where it's always rooted down, always drawing nourishment. Deep down on the inside, those roots are rooted down in an area, ladies and gentlemen, where they always draw moisture out of the water near that river so that the leaf never withers and it's always bearing fruit. You can as well. You don't have to be defeated. And the reason why is because you can get rooted down into the moisture, and the moisture that it's talking about is the Word of God. That is your root system, drawing nourishment from the Word of God. Now listen, you're rooted down in something. Your life is rooted into something. Your belief system rooted into something. Your mind rooted into something. The Bible's saying here that if you'll quit running around with the worldly crowd, with the ungodly crowd, and get your root system rooted down in the Word of God, that you'll be able to experience blessing and prosperity in your life. Your life saturated with the Scriptures. When the Bible talks here about meditating on the Word of God and day and night, ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about a mind and heart that is filled with the Word of God, so that the Word of God is controlling you from the inside out. That's what Paul had in mind when he was writing Colossians 3:16, when he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ live in you, be in you, and let it be in you richly. The idea of richly, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, when somebody is rich, that means that they have more than what they need. They have an abundance. They're rich. And even so, the Bible says here that God's people ought to be rich, but what we ought to be rich in is the Word of God. Living on the inside of us richly. That means, ladies and gentlemen, not just enough word, not just enough scripture to get by. Oh no, I want more than enough just to get by. I want my life to be filled with the Word of God from the inside out, in my heart filled with the Word of God. And that's what God is saying to you. I mean, listen, isn't that most people here probably say, you know what, Pastor, if I just have just enough money just to buy some food for today, that's all I want. I don't want any more than that. If that's all I have, if I got $5 in my pocket and that's enough to stop by the little place and grab a sandwich, which it may not be now, I'm not sure how much that costs. But nevertheless, if I got enough, just enough for today, that's all I need. Now I'm going to say to you that I know you all well enough to know that's not true of any of you. You want more than that. As a matter of fact, if you didn't have enough food at home to get by for several days, you would think you were desperate. If you didn't have enough money to pay your bills, you would think you're in trouble. No, I know all of us better than that. I know well enough that you and I want to have more than just enough. We want to have a little bit extra in case there's an emergency, in case something goes out, and in case I need to spend a little bit of money to replace something. I want to have a little bit more. I want to have more. As a matter of fact, probably you'd like to have a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and maybe a little bit more. But the Bible says here that you and I need to be rich, but it's not in the area of just financial, ladies and gentlemen. You and I need to be rich in the Word. The idea of being rich in the Word means not just enough. I want to be, listen, I don't want to just have enough money in my bank account just to get by, but I want my bank account to be full of money. Even so, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to have just a little bit of a Bible in my life. I want my heart to be full of the Word of God. I want to read it. I want to study it. I want to hear it preached all that I can. I want to be daily in the Word so that my life is full, being rich in the Word. I'm talking about being saturated with the Scriptures. When I'm talking about the Scriptures as an essential part of spiritual warfare, I'm talking about sticking with the Scriptures. I'm talking, ladies and gentlemen, about searching the Scriptures. I'm talking about being saturated with the Scriptures. I'm talking about submitting to the Scriptures. That is just like Mary did when the Word of God came to her and told her that she was going to conceive a child, the Christ, and she said, let it be to me according to thy word. God, I want your word to be true in my life. If the word of God comes to Mary and says, you're going to conceive a child, it's going to be the Messiah, then she says, let it be. According to thy word, I want your word to be worked out in my life. I'm going to surrender to the authority of your word. In other words, when you and I hear the word and we read the word and we study the word and our life gets saturated with the word, it's the kind of heart that says this, and that is, I want the word of God to be worked out, played out in reality in my life. I want to submit myself to the scriptures. Be surrendered to the Word of God through the authority of this book. Listen, when I'm talking about the Scriptures, I not only mean sticking with the Scriptures and searching the Scriptures and our lives being saturated with the Scriptures and being submissive to the Scriptures, but I'm talking about standing on the Scriptures. Standing on the Scriptures. And as we discover in 1 Corinthians 16:13, the Bible says that we need to stand fast in the faith. We discovered in 1 Peter 5:9 that in a previous message that if you and I are going to resist the devil, we've got to be steadfast or standing fast in the faith. And the idea of standing fast, ladies and gentlemen, is the idea of being steadfast or being anchored down to the Word of God. That my life is anchored in this Word so that I am standing on the Scriptures. It is the foundation for my life. That means that when I make decisions based on the Scriptures. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that when I'm processing a difficult circumstance in my life, that I process it through the filter of Scripture, the Word of God. It means when hard times come into my life, the first what I run to, the Scriptures in my life. That means when it comes time to read, I'm going to read the Scriptures. What I'm trying to describe to you is standing, what it means to be standing or to be steadfast. Standing fast in the Word of God. That is the foundation for our life. The Scriptures. That is, we're talking about sticking with the Scriptures, and we're talking about searching the Scriptures and our life being saturated with the Scriptures. We're talking about you and I submitting ourselves to the Scriptures. What the Bible says, I'm going to surrender my life to that. Whatever the Bible says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to obey what the Bible says to do. If I'm searching the Scriptures and finding out what God says, then I submit to the Scriptures and I do what it is that God has revealed. It means I'm going to stand on the Scriptures. I'm not going to be moved away from it. That is, in the day of attack, when the enemy is attacking, I'm not moving away from what God has said. What God has been revealing. I'm going to stand right there on the Scripture. And it also means sharing the Scriptures. That is, if you and I are going to, if the Scriptures are important when it comes to spiritual warfare, it means sharing the Scriptures as well. That is what it is that we have learned, what it is we've been taught, that we're going to share that with somebody else. Now, that's an essential part of spiritual warfare. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, over there we find Paul writing to Timothy about spiritual warfare. Here's what he writes to him. In 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. You got to know something about God's strength and power in your life, as we preached about before. And then he says in verse number 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then his next sentence is, thou therefore, and the therefore connects verse 3 with what he just said about teaching others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's right. He said, Timothy, you're a soldier in a real battle. And he said, in this battle that you're in, you're going to have to endure difficult times, hardness, just like soldiers do. And that is that those who are on the battle line, those who, ladies and gentlemen, are in the midst of the warfare, they're enduring difficult times. A few know about that personally in this room. And that is, it's difficult and it's hard. And say, well, what kind of battle is Timothy battling? It's the battle for the truth. It is a battle for the Bible. It is a battle for the Scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's the reason why that he told him that the things that you've heard of me that I've been teaching, you got to take it and teach it to others. so that those you teach can take it and teach it to others as well. And that as the Word of God can be handed down from one person to another. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is where the battle is at. And that is a battle for the truth. It's a battle for the Scriptures. Paul has been enduring this battle. For the Apostle Paul to get the Word of God to the city where Timothy lived. That is down there at Lystra, ladies and gentlemen, for him to get the Word of God to the area on the first missionary journey where this man lived and required him to do real spiritual battle. When he was in, listen, on that first missionary journey, when he was in Antioch of Pisidia, he got ran out of town. He went to Iconium, and while he was in Iconium, there was a plot to stone him to death along with Barnabas, and they found out about it, and they were able to escape. But when they got to Lystra, ladies and gentlemen, the Jews who were plotting to stone them caught up with them there, and they turned the people of Lystra's hearts against them, and Paul was caught. Apparently, Barnabas escaped, and Paul, ladies and gentlemen, was caught, taken, and stoned, left outside the city. Assumed to be dead or dying. That's what it took to get the gospel to Timothy's hometown, where this young man could hear the truth. The believers at Lystra gathered around Paul, and as he was laying there either dead or dying, they gathered around. He probably began to pray, don't you imagine? And God touched him miraculously in Acts 14 and raised him up. Gave him his life back. He was either raised from the dead or he was healed from near death. But God saved him and raised him up. And do you know what Paul did after God raised him up? He went right back into the city of Lystra. And he began to teach those who had gotten saved the Word of God inside that city. Hey, do you know who was sitting there listening? You know he was. Timothy. Timothy. Paul's saying, Timothy, what I taught you, you're going to teach to others the Scriptures so they can teach others as well. And that's going to require you to be a real strong soldier who's willing to endure hardness and difficulty to do that. Now listen, the same is true with all of us. The Scriptures are essential, and that means we need to be sharing with others. What you've been learning, you need to be telling others. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not much of a teacher. Just tell them what you learned. And by the way, until you get stoned over it, don't think that you're sacrificing anything. You say, well, it might take, I don't have time to do all that, right? It might take a little bit of time to study. It might take a little bit of time to prepare a lesson. And it might take a little bit of time to get involved in teaching others, whether it be teaching children or teaching adults or just talking to your family, whoever it might be that God gives you an opportunity to speak to. It might take a little bit of time, a little bit of sacrifice. It might cost you a few dollars to do that. But listen to me now. That's nothing compared to what Paul had to endure to teach Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, you endure whatever you have to teach others, because this is the battle. This is it. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to spiritual warfare, the Scriptures are essential. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I thank you so much for your Word and what you're saying to us and what you're revealing to us. And God, I pray that you'd operate upon our hearts, Lord, that even in these moments that we have, God, I pray that your Spirit would speak to those, Father, who've been lazy about your Word, those who ought to be teaching that aren't, those, God, who ought to be studying and searching the Scriptures that aren't, those who haven't been sticking with your Word. Would you do a work of correction in us for your glory? Father, thank you for such goodness. Pray for those that are lost that you'd save them today. For your people, God, that you bring about revival to our hearts. And we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.